Who is there for heroes of the families left behind when a service member or first responder dies or is catastrophically injured in the line of duty? Who helps our country's homeless veterans? And who helps our nation to never forget 9/11? Let me tell you who: the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. The foundation's Gold Star, Fallen First Responder, Smart Home, and Homeless Veteran programs comprise their In the Line of Duty programs. They're all dedicated to honoring our nation's heroes and their families. The foundation's Never Forget programs engage people in 9/11 remembrance across America. Over 80 runs, walks, and climbs a year. Dozens of golf outings. And the Tunnel to Towers 9/11 Institute is educating kids kindergarten through 12th grade to help our nation keep its vow to never forget. More than 95 cents of every dollar you donate to Tunnel to Towers goes to its programs. Never forget the sacrifices of our country's greatest heroes. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T2T.org. If you are an accredited investor, U.S. oil and gas should be part of your investment portfolio. Visit LabradorEnergy.com. Beyond the possibility to invest in a sector that historically delivers sound returns, when you invest with Labrador Energy, you may be able to structure your investment to offset active or passive income. According to many sources, U.S. oil and gas drilling remains one of the best tax-advantaged income investments available. Visit LabradorEnergy.com. You may be able to reduce your tax liability while investing in a sector that has historically delivered sound returns. Learn more at LabradorEnergy.com today.
Offer for accredited investors only. Past performance is no indication of future results. Investing involves risk. Consult your legal, tax, and financial advisors and read the prospectus before making any investment decisions. Visit LabradorEnergy.com for the prospectus and more information.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7.
You're listening to the Buck Sexton Show podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Shoulder to shoulder, shields high. Welcome to the Buck Sexton Show.
Team, welcome to the Freedom Hut Friday, January 6th edition of the program. And it's Friday, so we got some things to discuss, like the second year anniversary of January 6th, Biden talking about this today and doing the usual, trying to browbeat Republicans into abandoning everything that they believe and stand for because of a riot involving 1,000 people that was over in a couple of hours. We're all supposed to just sit around and do whatever we're told. As a result of this, I say no. We'll discuss that. More stuff going on Capitol Hill. I think they're on vote 13 or 14 or something now. And I think it's 13. Looks like there will, in fact, be a speaker soon, because a bunch of the holdouts have gone toward the McCarthy count. And then also, what is Biden's trip to El Paso on Sunday likely to bring about when it comes to immigration policy and the discussions about illegal immigration that are underway right now? But let's start with this January 6th situation. I want everyone to be reminded of the context in which January 6th happened. You have a couple of major historical events that are swept aside, swept under the rug, ignored as it pertains to January 6th. One of them is the months of BLM riots that occurred before it, where the Democrat Party overall, they didn't condemn them. They were saying they were mostly peaceful, even when they were burning down buildings. They were saying they were about racist police, even though there are lies that the left constantly tells about police violence, particularly against police violence against unarmed black men, the exaggeration that they engage in when they talk about how often that actually happens or how systemic that problem is. But the country in 2020 was in the midst of a pandemic, and it was while everybody was scared. It was while people and frightened by the government, told to stay in their homes, told that they should shut up and obey or else they would lose their life or perhaps even the life of a loved one. It would be their fault because they didn't mask up properly or whatever. It was in that moment that the BLM riots began once again. And we were told that that was necessary for public health to allow those riots. You couldn't protest lockdowns. That was a violation of lockdowns. But protesting racist police? This is an emotion that's pretending to be a policy argument. This is people who want validation for their anger, their rage against the system or against whatever it may be. But that was what the BLM movement really did. And it made everything worse for everybody, as I've said, particularly for African-American males in this country as a function of numbers and statistics. Far more murders, far more assaults after the BLM riots than before all across the country. And we also had a 2020 election in which people boarded up stores and were prepared for massive. Remember, the BLM riots in June and July of 2020 were believed to be, and they continued even into August in some places, but they were believed to be a preview of the massive riots that would occur, far more destructive riots would occur if Joe Biden didn't win the election. And you don't have to take anyone's word for this. You go back and see there were store owners, there were businesses who were boarding up and were preparing for the storm that they believe was to come if Donald Trump, the president in office, was to be reelected. So that election was held under duress. Duress in a number of capacities, but certainly from the threat of left-wing riots, Biden voter riots that would have happened and torn the country up if Joe Biden hadn't won, if the absolute imbecile mediocrity Joe Biden hadn't become president of the United States. And then there's also, because they're going to lecture us a lot today, I mean, Joe Biden certainly did it when he's speaking about January 6th, there are going to be a lot of lectures that are given tonight on the left-wing cable news channels about the attempt to overthrow a president or a would-be presidency with Joe Biden. And I'm sorry, but I remember that it was Democrats who spent 3 years as the real collusion, as we know, was between the Democrat-aligned media, the Democrat Party, the Hillary campaign, elements in the FBI, elements in the CIA and the intelligence community, Director of National Intelligence Office, and probably the DNI himself, tried to undo the 2016 election with a massive lie. What would they call it? Let's say they were successful and they told a big lie. It was a big lie about Donald Trump, that he colluded with Russia to steal the election. Let's say they were successful in with that lie, getting a removal of Donald Trump from office and a prosecution under the DOJ and under the special counsel's mandate to pass along a determination or a designation of whether they think there should be a prosecution. Isn't that a soft coup? I mean, it's all a lie, right? So they're willing to undo an election by telling a crazy story about Donald Trump. They're willing to undo an election by saying that Russia collusion happened when no sane person really believed that. And we are supposed to forget that and ignore it. On January 6th, this is the only riot that Democrats ever talk about. And this is the only time it seems that Democrats are deeply favorable toward law enforcement and believe very strongly in backing law enforcement. Okay. So we look at all of this and we find ourselves seeing, I think, a tremendous amount of hypocrisy And that's never something that is enough when you come to Democrat. When it comes to Democrats, hypocrisy is who they are. They don't care. They're not embarrassed by it. Sure, we're aware of it. We point it out, but they have the power to get away with it is the real point. That's how they really think of it. And their hypocrisy with the riot of January 6th versus all the other riots, all the other political pressure, all the other lies and abuses of power they've engaged in to deny election results, as they did in 2016, as they did in 2000 as well, to deny election results and to have interference in the election, which certainly happened in the case of the social media companies actively colluding with Democrat elements in the government. Blatant First Amendment violation to make sure that a Democrat actually won the presidency. So that's what I think of on January 6th. And of course, there's going to be the wild exaggerations about, oh my gosh, it's worse than 9/11, worse than Pearl Harbor, all these things that they say, which are outrageous, honestly, deeply outrageous and stupid, but I think meant to be. Because if you're willing to say that January 6th was worse than 9/11, as some respected Democrat talking heads and politicians have, or so-called respected, or, you know, among Democrats, if you're willing to say that, I think you're willing to say basically anything. I think that there is no outer limit to the degree of crazy you will spew. And so that really at least allows them to prove their fealty to the party. It proves their loyalty to the Democrat cause. If they're willing to say that, what are they not willing to say? Right? What are they not willing to push as part of the lie? So I do think it's important. I think it's important that we see this for what it is. And let's also be very honest about the fact that if Donald Trump is a Republican nominee, this will be a centerpiece in their effort to defeat him. Now, you can say that it won't matter. And that's an argument that we could have, or that's a debate that the Republicans can have and will have. But this gives them something that, as much as you and I may see it as an exaggeration, may see it as it, just talking about it and the propaganda that comes from it exhausts independents. It exhausts people who are swing voters. They go, oh, God, this again. All right, fine. You know, I'll vote for anybody as long as you stop talking about this stuff. That's a big problem. That's a big problem going into the 2024 election. Now, let's talk about the situation in Congress right now where they've got, oh, my, we're on the 14th round of voting here. I feel like I was one of the earliest ones. If you go back in the show, certainly 2 days ago, I was saying, doesn't really matter. It's all going to be fine. I'm hearing a lot of people say that now. The latest, as you might know as you hear this, is that six Republicans, have gone with Kevin McCarthy. So there's a smaller group of holdouts now than there had been before, and it's very unlikely, I think, that this will continue that much longer. I spoke to Anna Paulina Luna today about what this is really going to accomplish. Got some general statements, but she said because of the negotiations, she wasn't going to give me specifics on what they're trying to achieve with all this, so that's something that we have to take into account here. But look, I think it's we are fighting with the Democrat left, with these commies who are doing so much to undermine, not just to push bad policies, but to really undermine our American civilization in a lot of ways. We have to have a battle-hardened and ready-to-go Republican Party for 2024. And that means there are going to be some uncomfortable conversations. There's going to be fights. There's going to be arguments. There's going to be pushing people around a little bit. And that's a necessary part of this. You know, if you're preparing for a big fight, you got to spar. You got to train. You got to sweat. There are things that have to be done in that process. So I think this is all just a part of that. And the freakouts we've seen, oh, my gosh, it's chaos. Because members of Congress are talking for a couple of days, making speeches, having votes on the record. Isn't this what they're supposed to do? Oh, no, I see. Congress is actually supposed to vote for 5,000-page bills that spend trillions of dollars with all kinds of laws, and no one has any idea what's in them. That's what Congress is supposed to do now? That's what it has devolved into? Well, the answer is yes, that is what it has devolved into, but where are we on this in our future and what's happening. Why do we want this to continue? If we want it to stop, we have to come up with a way, I believe, to make it stop. And then there's the Biden visit to the border on Sunday. This will be interesting. You're going to see a lot of talk about Dreamers, I'm sure. You're going to see a focus from the Biden administration on aspects of immigration that are either the most sympathetic or the most opaque, meaning most difficult to understand really what's going on. What you will not see is a concerted effort to do interior enforcement, to deport people who stay in the country beyond when they're legally allowed to. I mean, I think of all the laws that I have to obey that I think are really stupid, and all the, you know, the paperwork I have to do, and the registration of this and that with the government, and the paying of taxes, and no one even knows how much they owe in terms of taxes. They hold you to account for laws that are so complicated and so obviously skewed towards certain interests without respect to whether or not this is fair. And yet when it comes to illegal immigration, we're supposed to just forget that the rule of law is a thing. And you have now 15 to 20 million people who are in the country illegally. At least some would say it's 30 million. And I won't argue with them because I think the number is substantially higher. Certainly, I know it's substantially higher than the government's official numbers. And I think it's even a lot higher than some of the estimates of people who recognize that this is a problem. So Biden will go there and he'll come. He'll give a speech maybe on Monday or Sunday, probably on Monday, Sunday. He'll do the Sunday shows. Talk about how there's the border's in crisis and it's broken. You know how they're going to say we have to fix it? Amnesty. That's the way that they say this gets fixed. That's the only way they say it gets fixed. And a part of that amnesty is to streamline even further the processing of illegals coming into this country. And at some point, we're going to have, speaking of the Republican Party, we're going to have a conversation about whether or not we are a sovereign nation if we don't have control of our borders. You know, at some point, that has to be where we turn our focus. And I think we're heading toward it. We're hurtling toward it faster than anybody realizes right now. Appreciate you rolling with me. Have a great weekend, and I'll be back with you on Monday. Shields high. Since 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been committed to improving the lives of America's veterans, first responders, and their families. For over 20 years, the foundation has helped America keep its solemn promise to never forget. Tunnel to Towers provides mortgage-free homes to Gold Star families and the families of fallen first responders with young children, and builds specially adapted smart homes for catastrophically injured veterans, as well as work to eradicate veteran homelessness. David Marshall served in the Army during World War II and fought in the Battle of the Bulge. He's never forgotten the sacrifices of his comrades in arms, nor the efforts of first responders on 9/11 and in the days and months that followed. He is a loyal and proud foundation donor. Tunnel to Towers is committed to supporting veterans, first responders, and their families, and so many of them need your help. Join the foundation on its mission to do good and never forget. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2t.org.
If you are an accredited investor, U.S. oil and gas should be part of your investment portfolio. Visit LabradorEnergy.com. Beyond the possibility to invest in a sector that historically delivers sound returns, when you invest with Labrador Energy, you may be able to structure your investment to offset active or passive income. According to many sources, U.S. oil and gas drilling remains one of the best tax-advantaged income investments available. Visit LabradorEnergy.com. You may be able to reduce your tax liability while investing in a sector that has historically delivered sound returns. Learn more at LabradorEnergy.com today.
Offer for accredited investors only. Past performance is no indication of future results. Investing involves risk. Consult your legal, tax, and financial advisors and read the prospectus before making any investment decisions. Visit LabradorEnergy.com for the prospectus and more information.
So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of the values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See why CNBC ranks Minnesota number 4 best state to live and work. A great place to work, an even better place to live. ExploreMinnesota.com/live.